Now, Pokemon might have heaps of people out and about exploring, phones at the ready, but there's a Brisbane-based app that gives you a more literary reason to venture outside. Story City is what this app is called, and it takes the choose-your-own-adventure books of your childhood and moves the action out into the real world. Emily Craven is the director of Story City, and Kim Wilkins and Isabel Carmody are two of the authors involved. They're speaking with Sky Kirkham.
Emily, what is Story City? How does it actually work?
So the idea behind Story City is that you have to be standing in the right spot for the app to unlock the story. So the story happens around you and you meet various different characters and basically get given your quest or your adventure. So you start off in a single location. So it might be in Brisbane Square. It could be outside Fed Square in Melbourne, or it maybe could be in Rundle Mall in Adelaide. And from there, the story happens around you and you're given choices as to where to go next. And each new part of the story is in a new place around the city.
For an app, so this is on my phone, my mobile device?
It is 100% on your phone, so you can either get it on the Android phones or the Apple store.
Where did the idea begin? Why did you want to do this?
Yeah, so we have been running for 3 years, although we've only had the app for just under 12 months now. And the idea actually originally came from reading a Choose Your Own Adventure, but it was a parody Choose Your Own Adventure. So you died in a whole heap of bizarre ways. And so as I was getting struck by lightning and being mauled by a tiger in this Choose Your Own Adventure, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if, rather than just reading about it, I could actually take part in a real life one.
Actually be mauled by a tiger.
No, well, maybe more getting struck by lightning. Maybe I get like superpowers that way.
So Isabel and Kim, you've written two of the recent stories for this round of Story City. Had you played any of the previous ones?
No, I hadn't, though I did used to read Choose Your Own Adventures when I was younger. So I was familiar with the form. I co-wrote mine with one of my students, Joseph Disket, who was the requisite young person I needed to help me get my head around the technology and the hypertext adventure format.
Isabel, you've written yours by yourself. You didn't need the help?
I definitely needed help. I had Emily helping as much as she possibly could. I didn't actually like Choose Your Own Adventures because I felt like the writer's the one who's supposed to do all the work. They're supposed to make you choose your choices and you go along with them. But to put myself in that seat was interesting because being the writer, you are the person who chooses the adventure. So in a funny way, it was what I would always do anyway. I just had to come up with multiple possibilities, which I suppose you do as a writer anyway.
Is there a canon version of your tale or one true version?
Yes, actually there is, because I tried very hard to make only one. I wanted one ending. I really wanted to do what I always do. And Emily had to control me every step of the way because I kept wanting to kill off everybody on every other possible way so that I could just do my one story. So, the canon way is the one that gets you to the end, basically. But there are a couple of possible choices, ways to get there, diverging paths.
And what about you, Kim? I know on yours, the very first choice you make seems to inform the nature of the story.
Yeah, that's right. And is there a canon version? I don't know. I'm a bit of a... I like those touchy-feely endings, so I probably could find a way through the story that would which would satisfy my touchy-feeliness, but there's also lots of violence on the other path, if you prefer it.
In fact, I think I made Kim kill...
Yes.
Someone off.
Well, I didn't
touchy feely.
I didn't realise. I came up with four happy endings, and Emily said, "This will not do."
So, when you're writing these, what are you using as your inspiration? Are you drawing on the books you've written? Because we're used to talking to both of you for the many well loved books you've written. Is that similar to this, or is it totally different form?
I think it's quite different. What I did was I got my young person, Joe, and I knew where I wanted to start. I wanted to start at Customs House in Brisbane because it's such an iconic location and because there's some lovely little bits and pieces down there to see. And we just did a walk and we looked at everything and thought about the possibilities of the place. So it very much arose from that. But in terms of genre, I mean, I think it was always going to be some kind of parody of a superhero narrative for us.
Which is really funny considering that Thor is currently being filmed in Brisbane.
In exactly that street.
Really? Oh my God, precognition.
They're always taking my ideas, those big Hollywood producers.
They'd only pay you for them.
If only.
You get a kickback. Yeah, for me, I mean, I didn't go for a walk deliberately. For the first 2 years I lived in Brisbane, I didn't know Brisbane very well. And I walked everywhere because I didn't have a car. And so I'd often see buildings that were really old and beautiful. And so one day I was walking past one particular place and I saw a kind of a shape or a design on the building that I thought was really beautiful. And then I thought, how many buildings have designs like that? And then it suddenly occurred to me that I'd found the thing that I was sort of looking for. I wanted something that people would literally search for. I didn't want them to imagine everything. I wanted there to be something they could look for and that there would be a number of possibilities. And I saw that there were many circular shapes with designs in them. So I started, and then I looked at the wheel of Brisbane, and I saw that there were gigantic terraces which had circular patterns. And I just suddenly started to see it everywhere. And then my partner one day was doing a walk and he found this stunning location, which I'm not going to tell you what that is, but it's a stunning location and it's the end location. That's why I wanted everything to come to one end, because there was only one place I wanted my story to end, and it's the most amazing place. One day I might have to write a real story about it. So that's beginning and end, Alpha and Omega.
So Isabel, you're mentioning that place. Kim, you said Customs House was where you started yours. Who got to choose the place? It was entirely your choice, or was Emily nudging you in particular directions?
Emily didn't nudge us. She whipped us.
She did.
No. She did whip us at some points, but she didn't whip us in that regard. No, it was very much choosing our own place, which was great, because there are certain parts of Brisbane that I've always felt are quite sort of mystical. And in my story, one of the locations is that amazing big fig tree down on Creek Street, which just looks like, you know, the middle of a rainforest, but sitting right in the centre of the CBD, which I love. So I got to sort of go to these places and see them with fresh eyes, see them with my story glasses on.
Yeah, because I'm not usually looking at the real world in this way, so that was kind of fascinating too. And once you started to think about the story and unwind it in your mind, you started looking at the whole city and through that lens, and that was interesting. It was interesting to, and I have to say, I know Brisbane, and I didn't know Brisbane before, and I know really strange little corners of Brisbane now, which I didn't know before. So I would imagine if someone were coming into a city and were playing this game, it would be a fantastic way to get to know a city.
Yes, you should advertise at the airport as people get off the plane.
Yeah, see it in a new way. See Brisbane in a new light.
Emily, was that always part of the intent to you, to reintroduce people to the place they live?
Yeah, that was 100% what I wanted to do. I mean, like when I originally started it, it was about being part of the story. I was really keen to, you know, be the hero of my own adventure, as it were. But when we were doing the initial pilot project and then in all of the projects afterwards, I found that the amazing thing was is that I was learning about all of these weird things that were in the city that I didn't know about. And when I ran the pilot project, which was in Adelaide, I'd lived there for like 6 years. And I didn't know half of the things that ended up going into all of the stories. And the same thing happened with Brisbane. And so that's why it's not only marketed at tourists. It's also saying to locals, hey, you know, there's a whole heap of things that you guys walk past every single day that you never even knew existed. And so that's the additional kind of layer, is that you get to explore and see all of these really awesome things that kind of makes a city, as Kim said, through your story goggles.
Who are these stories aimed at then? Is it, you said, not just tourists, but is it aimed at children or is it more an adult thing?
Oh, they vary. So I would... I don't know if I would send children on Isabel's
Excuse
story.
Me, they would love it. They would totally
actually,
love it.
Actually, you're right. Kids are very
kids are tougher and braver than adults, if you ask me.
That is
no, but
true.
But you know, one of the nice things about it was something I didn't realise. I didn't read the instructions properly, which is usual for me. But it's also aimed at people who can't hear or, like, you should talk about that a little bit. That was a really nice part of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, unique. So the idea is that we have a range of stories across a whole heap of different genres. So you can take anywhere. So we also like rate our stories as well. So we have stories that are rated G all the way up to stories that are rated M15 plus. And I'm pretty sure as many 8 year olds do the M15 plus ones as the G ones. But we also make sure that we make all of the stories accessible to both the blind and deaf communities. So everything is narrated as well as written in audio text. So in audio text, written in text. and so in that way, you can view the story in whichever form suits you best, whether you know, you're forced to or whether it's a preference. And so we wanted to, I kind of want this to be a new format for writers to be able to tell their stories. And so in a way, it has to encompass all of those different types of stories, those different age group levels. And so we wanted to show that just because a story is in a place, it doesn't necessarily require a higher intellect or a lower intellect. You can have the same vast spectrum as you would have in any bookstore.
Kim and I want to know what we're rated at. What are we rated at?
So I'm pretty sure I put Isabel at PG.
Parental guidance. Whoa.
And I'm pretty sure I put Kim at PG as well, because there was one or two where you die.
Yeah.
So only, death is out
only,
of limits.
Only let children, well, only let children who aren't parented well look at our...
Well, the thing is that you just have to err on the side of caution, because some parents do not like talking to their children directly about death, and that is fine.
We are happy to do it for them.
It's what writers have been doing since time immemorial.
We are subversives.
Indeed they are. Emily Craven, the director of Story City, and authors Isabel Carmody and Kim Wilkins, speaking with Skye Kirkham. And you can find out more about Story City by following the link on the Books and Arts website.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.